What's up, everybody? It is the Billion Dollars Writer Club. Right now, I have a wonderful guest with us today. We have a Mr. J. Andrew. He's a writer, a very promising writer, who has a couple of things that he would like to express and share with us on today's show. Jay?
What's up, everybody?
So, Jay, can you mind telling us a little bit about who you are and what it is that you do and provide?
Sure. My real name is Jeremy Forsyth. Jay Andrew is just my social media name. I'm an aspiring writer. I published 5 short stories in the genre of fantasy. And when I'm not writing, I am writing for advertising agencies here in South Africa, in a city called Cape Town. Writing is just my passion. I do it all the time. I live and breathe it. It's exciting. It fills me with life, and I'm probably going to do it for the rest of my life.
I love hearing that, and I know everybody else can too, because I felt it. It made me smile listening to you. So you said you wrote a couple short stories. I would like to know about those, and then eventually about your life in South Africa. You know, so So you've written a couple of short stories?
Yeah, I've written 5 short stories. They're all standalones, yet are subtly linked together, and it all takes place in a fantasy world of my creation, where elves are the main demographics and the main features, the main characters. And it's set in a medieval era that adheres to feudal systems. So there's lots of battle, lots of intrigue, lots of political dynamics happening simultaneously, lots of scheming, lots of love, and just all the intrigue, man, all the intrigue.
I love it. Like, I'm already picturing like a combination of like my favorite scenes from like Lord of the Rings and Game of Thrones as you're talking. Now you said elves are the main demographic in this world?
Yep. Absolutely.
Okay. So does that mean that you're going to have, you know, other creatures, dwarves and, you know, humans or huma or little anima spirits or, you know, demons and other, you know, races in this story? Or is this planet or world primarily just elves?
As it stands, elves are the main focus. There's no dwarves or orcs or whatever. I'm trying to stay away from Lord of the Rings as best I can, because I'm heavily influenced by Lord of the Rings. I'm just in love with elves, and I'm fascinated by elves. I fell in love with elves when I first started reading The Hobbit when I was a kid. And ever since then, I've just always had a fascination with elves. So I decided to create my own civilizations, elven civilizations. There's no dwarves, there's no orcs. I'm trying to stay away from Lord of the Rings as much as possible. I want to make my own world, my own. I want to tell my own story. I don't want to tell a story that someone else has already told. Naturally, I've been influenced by other authors, but I'm very, very focused on staying clear away from what other authors have done and finding and basically telling my own story.
Okay. And I absolutely love that. And while listening to you, like, I'm excited to read this and see this. My like, a part of this that I want to make known is that I want writers to see their stories come to life in some form of animation, like Castlevania on Netflix or something grand, you know, live action like Game of Thrones or Lord of the Rings or, you know, the great, you know, Marvel movies we have. Like, I want people to be able to envision that. And while you were talking, I was already like hearing how in love you are with your story is what's pulling me in. I don't even know I don't know the first thing about your characters. I don't know the first thing about it, but I was already like thinking to myself, this guy is going to have the kind of world that has beautiful elven magic. Because one thing about elves that I've always loved is their magical system. Like they have a very intricate system that's more magic than it is science. It's not like, you know, alchemy or anything. It's definitely more related in the magical and spiritual aspect than it is scientific. Yeah. But I love when people world build with elven magic, and they use it for scientific means. You know, like if they're using like elven magic to power like, you know, vehicles or transportation that they use. I love stuff like that. You know, if there's like instant transportation or teleporters that they have, but it is fueled with, you know, a certain type of like elven crystal and stuff like that. Like that's when you can tell, like, not to, you know, I personally feel like that's when you can tell like really cool stories with the same thing. Like who knows, for all I know in your story, there might be a whole mafia mob game type elven story going on. But, you know, if you could, you know, I would at this point love to know, like, you know, your characters, or what is the story that you are telling?
Well, that's a fantastic question. But before I answer that, I just, you know, the one thing I do love about elves, just as you said, is that the magic systems that other authors have incorporated, and just, you know, the when someone speaks about elves, you know, the first thing you think about is this long, elegant hair and the magic, and, you know, just an incredible swordsman, you know, and I do incorporate these elements with my characters, except, you know, just like I said earlier, I'm trying to stay away from what other authors have done. So when it comes to the magical systems that I've created, it is very, very much my own, without giving anything away. I don't want to, you know, tell my story before people have, you know, got out and checked it out, but, I've made it my own. And the magic system is very intricate, very complex, very difficult to translate on paper, at least in one book. So I've used a variation of different books to kind of slowly build or rather educate my reader on what the magical system is like. So my readers definitely have something new and interesting to look forward to when they pick up one of my short stories. But yeah, to answer your question, the story that I'm telling, really, I actually haven't released that story yet. These short stories that I've published, the aim of these books were to lay the foundation, kind of do the groundwork for this inevitable story that I've actually been writing for the last 10 years. It's called Upon the Sands. It's part of a series called A Symphony of Shadow and Darkness. And basically, these short stories that I have out kind of lay the framework, and they kind of build the world while telling independent stories of their own, just so that when my readers eventually get Upon the Sands, when I eventually release Upon the Sands, they're already tuned in with the world, with the dynamics, with the religious system, the political systems, the characters. Some of the characters that are in the short stories have appearances in Upon the Sands, and some of them are actually main characters. So I don't want to give away the whole story, so I'm not going to say exactly what the story is about, but it basically follows five viewpoint characters. Each of them are huge, high-stake players in the dynamics that I've created in this fantasy world. And like I said earlier on in the interview, there's just all the intrigue, dude, like all of the intrigue.
I'm fascinated. The title was A Palm of Sands.
Yeah, Upon the Sands.
Palm in the Sands.
Upon the Sands.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Hold on. I got to put this down so I can make sure that everyone knows exactly what this is. Upon the Sands. And then we have
Sands, yeah.
It was a symphony of what?
A symphony of shadow and darkness.
Symphony of shadow and darkness. Darkness. Yeah. Yes. Love
and
it.
Darkness. Yeah, exactly.
Love it.
All the darkness, bro. All the darkness. but I haven't released it yet. I mean, I'm planning on releasing it this year, actually. But in the meantime, you know, people can get snippets of the book as extract chapters in the short stories that I already have out. That short story series is called the Sun, Moon, Sand, and Star series. And basically it incorporates The Evening Tide, which is book one, The Broken Rose, which is book two, The Missing, which is book three, The Raven Heiress, which is book four, and then lastly, The Little Fairleaf, which is book five. Each of these books are independent and are standalone, but they are slightly interconnected in very very subtle ways, and it takes place in the same world, and it's it follows a relatively coherent storyline, and it's just basically the whole point of it is to educate my reader and to give them hard-hitting short stories that clap at the end.
Love it, love it, love it. Like I'm very, interested. I'm not even like, exaggerating this. Like this is exactly the kind of story that I feel like will pull me in. What I want to definitely do is pick up a few copies, and I know you said you haven't published any of your works, but we can pick up snippets. Where can we find these snippets? Like, do you have an author's website? Do you book funnel? Like, what do you do to stream this out to your readers?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, the short stories are available on Amazon and Smashwords. You can also get them through Goodreads.
Awesome.
Otherwise, my website, I've got all the books, I've got all five short stories available on my website, which is www.jeremyforsyth.co.za. And they're all available for $2. I wanted to make them very cheap and accessible, and just, easy access, just so my readers can not have any struggle getting their hands on these books, and just so that they can dive straight into this world that I've created and have a good time while they're reading, and just, just be kept on the edge of their seats, just having a really good time, just enjoying fantasy as it should be enjoyed.
Yeah, right. Man, I'm a full-on writer and creator, and I'm fanboying over here. Like, this sounds really good. It's I can hear your passion into it, and I can hear the genuine love. And that's what I want to showcase. I don't mind, like I said, I'm going to, this podcast is definitely going to be a show that interviews more, different stages of creation. Like I said, whether you're just the daydreamer, whether you're the person who's sitting in front of a pen and paper or a blank canvas or a blank laptop, or you're somebody who's 10 to 80,000 words in, or someone like you who has finished, a few books and are just ready to publish, or they're published and successful and have a lot of knowledge to give.
Yeah, that's incredible.
But what's really remarkable is this world you have built, and the fact that even right here as I'm listening, like I'm completely pulled in, and I feel like these books would be great page turners. I'm excited to see like how you write. Like, what is your structure? Do you do more third person? Are you more of a first person? I'm curious to see how you weave your words. So that is what I'm very fascinated with right now. I don't think you're the kind of person to let, one down with that. I'm sorry, but you've risen the bar on yourself kind of high. I hope to God I don't read your books and I'm like, man, what did he write? What is
Bro, like I'm very confident in what I've written. I'm very proud of it. I think they're the best, man. I think every author should write the story that they wanna read, and they should write a book with the confidence that, or the belief and the conviction that they know what they're doing, and the story that they have to tell is something worth telling. So
Amen.
I'm very confident. Proud of what I've written. So, yeah, man, I'm happy to raise the bar, dude. I think you're going to get exactly what you are expecting.
Awesome. Like, something that I'm actually going to be doing is every month I'm going to select four, maybe five, could be 10 of the individuals that we bring on the show and interview. And like let's say they're a musician or author, I'm going to purchase 10 copies of whatever book they have, or maybe I'll go and purchase two copies of each book they have, or 10 copies of their music to share. My goal is I'm going to invest money into every person I bring onto this show, and then I'm going to share it just for free. I'm going to give out the books. I'm going to, give them to people. I'm going to Yugimoto this, where I'm just going to walk to somebody. I'm going to be like, I believe that this book right here to change your life. And if you don't like it, I just ask that you give it to somebody who would enjoy this book, And it's because it's those moments right there that will bring in some real true fans. They're going to be like, man, I met this random guy. He gave me this
For
awesome book,
sure.
and I just couldn't help. I couldn't stop reading it, So that's what I'm looking forward to doing. So that way we can grow more and help each other out. I really
For
appreciate
sure.
you telling us a lot about yourself. What's South Africa like? I actually went to high school with a lot of people who
who, you know, grew up in South Africa. I served in the military with people who have lived in South Africa. And, you know, so how was that growing up there? How did that affect your writing, like your creation, you know?
Oh, man. Well, first off, I think it goes without saying that South Africa is beautiful. I mean, just all of Africa, just the land is just beautiful. Anyone who's been to Africa will know that, so, you know, Africa's claim to fame is its ultimate and pure beauty. So, yeah, that's just a privilege that I get to live in every single day. My life has been, my books have been very influenced by my life. I've had incredible creatives in my family who've inspired me, who've sparked the creative desires in my heart. I love my home. I love Africa. I love South Africa. And it's just a place that everyone needs to come and visit. It's a place that everyone needs to experience and just get a taste of, man. It's a paradise here.
I believe that. And, you know, as an African-American male, here in America, you know, I served in the U.S. Army. I've traveled to a lot of places here in America. I've traveled to a lot of places, you know, over in the Middle East. But one thing that I will definitely do is I will definitely come face to face, and I will kiss the foot of the motherland. Like, I mean, I need to. I just hearing you talk about Africa right now is just like, ugh, Joshua, what are you doing? You gotta go there. You gotta go.
Got it, man. And I got to visit America, bro. Like, I've always wanted to see America. But yeah, Josh, if you ever this side, man, you're gonna have a great time.
I believe it. I mean, I know that there is nothing. One of my future goals is to be able to invest into Africa. Whether that's investing into the schools, new buildings, you know, helping, you know, keep those animals safe from poachers, whether it's, you know, investing into water treatment or power. Because one thing I've had a lot of friends over in a lot of the countries in Africa, you know, sometimes they can't even talk to me because they don't got power at a certain time, because that's just the way it is. And, yeah, you know, like, I'm familiar with the celebrity Akon providing, you know, electricity to a vast amount of, you know, Africa. And I want to be able to, man, hearing you say this is amazing.
Yeah, he's a hero, man. I mean, people like that, those are true heroes. To really utilize their fame and fortune in such a way, in like a good and beneficial way, like what Akon is doing, he's a hero. As far as I'm concerned, that is a present day hero. Very underrated. And I believe that there should be more publicity and light on what he is doing.
Amen.
And not for him, but to inspire more people, to show the world, this is how you care for people. But this is what you do with your influence and your money. And this is how you care and love your neighbor, as far as I'm concerned, at least.
Amen to that. You know, and it's funny that we're talking about that level of inspiration, because I carry a part of that torch as well. You know, something that should be said and noted is to be able to give and provide to people, even when you have nothing to give.
Yeah.
I want people to be able to understand that as well. You know, and I hope that's a message that we can get out there. You know, to be able to turn nothing into something is just as beautiful as taking something and providing it to those who have nothing. So that's just what we're going to do here. And you're going to see that, Jay. It's like, you're the very first interviewee that I have on this podcast. And you're going to see that, you know, come the end of the year, you're going to be like, brother, remember back in January, like, look where we at now. You know, look what we've inspired, you know.
Man, I'm getting excited, dude. Stop it.
I'm already excited. You know, like, something like what I say, what I mean, you know, giving, you know, when you have nothing, is like, right now I'm all, like, I've been listening to you and I've been like, man, I would really like to find out if you would be comfortable with, like, you know, me illustrating some of his characters or like doing some animations and stuff like that. And like, I'm thinking in my head now, like, it'd be really cool to like do like animation videos for people's books. To be like, you know, do like a chapter one animated, you know, version, like they take an animated version of your chapter one, like a 5-10 minute video on YouTube, as like a little teaser and be like, to find out the rest, stay tuned on the next episode. You know, so it's just, yeah, that would be amazing. But
I saw you in Dragon Ball Z there for a
little bit. I was gonna keep it low key. I was gonna let the real fans and the real readers and the real the real get that.
You're a real fan on there, bro. Like, I'm a huge Dragon Ball Z fan.
Of course.
You try to sneak that back, bro, but you can't get Dragon Ball Z by me, man.
Oh, all right, then that means that your story's gonna be hella dope, because now that means that a lot of these battles and stuff, I know. Wait, so tell me this. Being that, you know, you love Dragon Ball Z, so that means that you also are a bit of a anime fan, correct?
Surprisingly, dude, I'm a Dragon Ball Z fan, but I haven't, there hasn't been a lot of anime that has really got me in the feels like Dragon Ball Z did.
Don't be ashamed. I actually love that. Like, I'm actually very, because that just changed up my whole, like, next phase going into this. Like, I was, like, going to go into this, like, oh, my God, did you do this? Do you like that? But now we're not doing that. What's really cool is now that I get to, as soon as you said that, there was actually an anime that I was thinking of that your story, it didn't remind me of, like, in the sense of, oh, they're similar. Like, oh, it's the same. Sure. It was more like, The beauty and the world building of the magical system, I think you would really pull from. There's an anime series called Fate Zero or Fate Stay Night. Well, Fate Zero is the first installment. Fate Stay Night came out back in 2006 or 8 or something like that. It was the original was like trash. The storyline is great, but the animation and everything and the pacing was kind of trash. But they remade it in 2014. I'm going to message you all this because I believe if you were to watch that anime, and the episodes are short. It's not like Dragon Ball Z where there's 100 episodes. Like, Fate Zero has, like, I think both Fate Zero and Stay Night have 24 or 25 episodes. Something that you could watch in a couple days. But I beseech you, please watch those. Like, I can name off 100 or so different anime. But based off of your genre and your level of world building and the, and knowing that your story relies heavily on a intricate magical system, because that's what elves are, magical beings, I believe that if you were to watch these shows, that they would take you to another level. Like, you, because writers normally have this thing where they're, like, afraid to, like, or not just writers, but creators, artists, musicians. They're, like, afraid to listen to new things or things they like because they don't want to rip off or steal. But then it's like, mofo, that's what you listen to that inspired you in the first place. Like, you need to. Like, you need to find more of those muses. Like, you can't drain one muse and expect that muse to, you know, people, like, they're like, why isn't this inspiring me anymore? Bro, you don't tapped all that inspiration out of that. You got to go find some more inspiration in something else now, you know?
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
So
wise man. But it's a very fine line because there are a lot of authors I found that you can clearly see that they have, you can clearly see what they're reading and not in a good way. Without dropping any names, but I've read like one book. Well, one author comes to mind that I'm just like, dude, you just literally ripped off Lord of the Rings like so hard. You can tell that you're definitely a fan, and I don't want to write someone else's story. So I agree with finding your influences and getting inspiration, but I also think there's a fine line.
Yes.
And I think you're right. Most authors are scared of, you know, just ripping off another person's work. And I think there is a lot of justification for that, because as artists, you want to create something that's your own. You know, you don't want to tell someone else's story.
Absolutely. Yeah. So the thing about that is balance. And you got to balance it out. You got to be able to differentiate between when to pull by yourself and go on hermit mode and crunch out some creations by yourself, and when you need that inspiration. So that's the biggest thing. But Mr. Andrew, we're at the end of this. We're gonna have to wrap this up, man. It's been a wonderful conversation, but I definitely want to speak with you some more. Like, I definitely want to be able to get you back on, definitely, you know, hear how you're progressing, you know, hear what you're doing to get these books out there, because people are going to hear you now. They know of this. They know of your websites now, and they're going to want more from you. So I you said you live and breathe and writing, that is every bit a part of you and your atomic structure. So I look forward to just seeing and reading and engaging with you more and getting to know you and your journey more. So it's been a pleasure to have you on the show, Andrew. It's been completely wonderful.
Yeah, Josh, it's been an absolute pleasure. And I just want to say thank you for the opportunity. You're such a great chat. And you seem like such a quality guy, man, who just has a heart for the writing community and the art of writing. And just for you, man, just to show you my appreciation, I want the honor of giving you my short stories for free, man, with no cost involved at all. If you will let me, I would be happy to send you my short stories as a gift, just as thanks, and just to show my appreciation to what you're doing for this community.
I would be honored, and I'm gonna be as open, as brotherly and spiritually open as I can. That touched my heart, and it I mean, I'm not crying on the outside, but I've definitely, like, my soul teared up, and that's a different kind of feeling. Like, it's like that. It definitely made me feel very, very happy and very complete today. That was needed, and I appreciate that. If I could, you know, at some point do something for you, if you would take this offer, you don't have to take it now, but I'm looking to actually take people's books and turn them into audiobooks for free. And I believe that would be something that would help get your books out there, you know, because people tend to listen to books more than read them now. It takes just the very traditional cast of humans to sit down and read. But that's something I would like to do for you in the future. You know, you could take me up on that offer at any point.
Yeah, that'd be wonderful, man. I think it's definitely something to consider. Definitely something to consider one day, man. And just the fact that you offered that is just incredible. I really appreciate it.
Awesome, man. I always got your back, man. Always got your back. Like, I'm always here. To everybody listening, you know, I'm nothing but a Facebook message, a text message, a DM on Instagram or Twitter. I'm right here. Email, Facebook call, Zoom call. I'm here for anyone, for anything. So that's going to conclude our podcast today.
People need to pay attention to you, Josh. People need to check what you're doing, because what you're doing is super entertaining and really cool.
I appreciate that. Like, it has to be done. Like somebody actually messaged me in the beginning of this chat, and they told me, they said they were like, why are you doing this? You know, they just wanted to know. And I said, and it's something my best friend spoke to me about years ago. You know, I wanted to become the person that I needed when I was at my lowest. Because for sure. I was at my lowest, I didn't have that person. And I wanted to become the person that could be that for somebody else.
Sure, yo. That's powerful.
Yeah. But I got to wrap this up, because we definitely have more things to touch on. We will definitely pick back up on this.
We better put a limit on it.
Yeah, you know, people don't like to listen to things that are too long, but
yeah,
Jay, it was wonderful, man. We're going to go ahead and conclude this. Everybody, this is Mr. Jay Andrew. I'm going to make sure to put all the links to his website, his channels, his Instagrams all together for you guys. You'll be able to click on it right in the description of this podcast. That's going to conclude us for today. Take care, guys. Peace.
Cool. Cool, guys. Cheers, bye.